Hi.
Awesome. He just briefly explained to me that it was, in fact, my fault. My stomach roll must have muted it by accident. It's God's way of saying get in shape.
The streets of Philippi were booming with the sound of feet pounding on the ground as people walked to their various places they had to get to. Carts and carriages wheeled about like they owned the place. Iron clanged against iron as the metal workers sharpened their blades in the marketplace. Soldiers were marching through the crowd. "Excuse me, sir. Out of the way, ma'am." Going to battle. Mothers were yelling at their kids, "Get here right now! It's Mother's Day!" It was so busy. Sounds and smells and sights and people everywhere. As far as the eye could see down the street in either direction, people. Yet how easy is it to be anonymous in a sea of bobbing heads? How easy is it to slip through the cracks of a crowd? How scary is it that we are often most alone when we are completely surrounded by others? But for a small group of people, they didn't mind the crowded streets. In fact, it gave them the perfect cover. It allowed them to sneak around at night without raising suspicion, to sink into the crowd and not be noticed as they went about their illegal practices. The leader of their group had been crucified 30 years earlier by the Roman government for daring to stand up to the powers that be, and they were still hunting down everyone who followed him, the people who called themselves Christians. You can imagine a young Christian quietly walking through the streets, hiding in the cover of the crowd. She'd make her way to a house a few blocks over that had a small marking of a fish at the bottom of the door. That was the sign. Ancient Christians used the fish as a symbol because Jesus had done, you know, many miracles with the fish, and because the Greek word for fish was an acronym for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. So ancient Christians, they subtly marked their doors with the symbol of a fish so other Christians who passed by would know a church meets here. And the Roman government that was trying to hunt them down would have no clue. Random homes, street corners, random places, shops, they had the fish symbol. Christians met everywhere they could. Even outside the city, in the forest, by a stream, there'd be a tree with a little fish mark carved into it. It wasn't about where they met. Church wasn't a building. They couldn't even legally have a building back then. Church was about the people. Their executed leader, Jesus, had said, "Wherever two or more people are gathered in my name, there I am with you also." There is church. You can imagine the Christian girl knocking on the door of that house with the fish symbol. The door would swing open. The smell of home cooking would rush into her nostrils, drowning out the smell of the marketplace. People would stand up and hug her and welcome her inside. Then they all sat down and ate together, and they sang songs of worship together a cappella, being careful not to make so much noise that a soldier would hear and arrest them. Huddling in their house churches for warmth and safety, they played and they laughed and they cried and they sang together. Many of their families shunned them when they became Christians because it was illegal. Many of them had no other family, no other home. Most of them were poor. One of the reasons Christianity grew so quickly in the early years was because Jesus appealed to the homeless, the poor, prostitutes, slaves, women, children, those who were considered secondary in ancient society, those who nobody else wanted. These Christians had no money. Many no longer had a family or a community. They had no church building, and they had no guarantee that tomorrow morning they wouldn't be in jail. All they had was each other. Through each other, they saw God. They stocked up on words of love and encouragement from each other so they could make it through another day out in a world that didn't accept them. They talk long into the night about what they were struggling with, openly confessing their sins and being real and vulnerable with each other. They talked about everything. If you read the New Testament Bible between these early churches back then, they talk about love, life, sex, God, death, doubts, abuse, anger, fear, failure, sin, singleness, loneliness. No topic was taboo. No sin was too great for them to defeat together. No person was beyond forgiveness. Nothing was too much for the community to tackle hand in hand together. As one, they survived. As the years went on, many centuries later, in the year 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine made Christianity legal for the very first time. And within 100 years of that, Christianity had swept the entire Roman Empire, becoming the state religion full of popularity, power, and wealth. For thousands of years to come, great cathedrals and unrivaled church architecture dominated the landscape. You could see the church bell towers from miles away. Everybody was a Christian now. Much was gained, but much was also lost. Slurred church slowly became just another place, an organization, a building. Just come to church on Sunday, put money in the offering basket like everyone else, and you get to go to heaven. Christians were everywhere now. The church was so busy, prayers and finances and events and Christians everywhere. As far as the eye could see down the street in every direction, Christians. Yet how easy is it to be anonymous in a sea of raised hands at church? How easy is it to slip through the cracks of a Christian crowd? How scary is it that we are often most alone when we are completely surrounded by others? There were no longer secret fishes on doors, for all the Western world was one great big fish. And it was beginning to reek. And over hundreds of years, society got tired of the church. Community and Christ were too often replaced by gossip, judgment, hypocrisy, and guilt. For a lot of people, the final nail in the church's coffin was the Catholic sex abuse scandals. At the same time, many were beginning to be dissatisfied with the traditional family. Family baggage and parental abuse and divorce became a mainstream topic of conversation, really for the first time around the 1900s. Happy Mother's Day. At the same time, we also began to distrust institutions, the government, politicians, schools. We were shifting from a world where you are supposed to do and think what the community tells you to a world where it is okay for the individual to question the community, to question your family, your religion, your country. The ethos of our day now is think for yourself. Whereas before the church or God or family was the meaning of life, now the individual got to make up their own meaning. Follow your heart, be yourself, love yourself, embrace who you are, not who the community tells you to be. There is no more powerful argument in our modern world than, this is who I am. I need to be true to myself. And many people don't realize how radical that is. This new way of thinking, our culture just assumes that's how all rational people must think. Individualism brought a lot of good. Free thinking, individual rights and freedoms, appreciating how each individual is unique. Much was gained, but much was also lost. There's a loneliness that came with setting out on our own. By rejecting the world outside ourselves, we ended up like lost puzzle pieces that don't quite fit anywhere. Even extroverts and happy social people can't help but absorb from our broader culture this sense that other people can fail me. My church, my government, my own family, my friends can fail me, so I can only trust myself. You stay over there and I'll stay over here. Text me if you need something. You don't know me. I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone's help. I'm a hardworking, tough, successful, modern man. Or I'm a strong, independent, liberated, self-reliant woman. In the words of Simon and Garfunkel, I am a rock. I am an island. We've even spiritualized our individualism. You don't need God's love, just love yourself. You don't need to find a church, find yourself. You don't need God's forgiveness, what you need to do is forgive yourself. Don't look out beyond yourself for salvation. Don't look to others or God or the church or the community. The truth is within you. You are the universe and the universe is you. You are a perfect little snowflake. You are a spiritual person because sometimes you light candles in the bubble bath. You don't need anyone or anything outside of yourself. In John Lennon's song titled God, John sings, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Kennedy. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in yoga. I don't believe in Elvis. I don't even believe in Beatles. I just believe in me. I love John Lennon. I've actually fashioned my hair after the Beatles, you might have noticed. And when I was a teenager, I loved that song. But I just can't agree with it anymore. I can't furl into myself and just believe in me. I can't reject the outside world and everything else. I can't give up on the outside world, at least not yet. With individualism, much was gained, but much was also lost. The modern world is so busy. Coffee spilling, crosswalks blinking, iPhones ringing, feet shuffling, individuals everywhere. As far as the eye can see, up and down the city streets, individuals occasionally bumping into each other, but never breaking through the walls to the soul. How easy is it to be anonymous in a hallway of bobbing heads at school? How easy is it to slip through the cracks of a crowded Vancouver city street? How easy is it to be in an office for years but never knowing or being known by anyone there? How easy is it to small talk every Sunday at church but never reveal your heart, your longings, your secrets, your sin, your pain, and your passions? How scary is it that we are often most alone when we are completely surrounded by others? Sitting in church on Sunday, people on either side, we long for more. For a fish to mark the door to genuine intimacy. We long not to be in a church, but to be church. We long to go back to what was lost long ago. We long for authentic community. None of this faith stuff, this fake stuff. We long to be church again. First Corinthians 12 says, care for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You are the body of Christ. We're called to empathize, to enter into each other's emotions, pain, and joy, and to experience them as if they were actually our own. Dr. Brené Brown talks about the difference between empathy and sympathy. In life, we often find ourselves at the bottom of a dark pit of pain and loneliness. And empathy is someone climbing down into that pit with us, descending into our pain and sitting with us in it so we're not alone in the experience. But sympathy is someone standing at the top of your dark pit, looking down, going, hey, do you want a sandwich or something? Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then just not. Christian community is not supposed to be about patronizing one another with sympathy, giving quick and easy advice from outside the person's experience, saying simplistic truths. No, it's about entering into each other's lives in prayer, in story, in emotion, in the big things and the little things, experiencing life together as one mind, one heart, one body. Care for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together. You are the body of Christ. It's about empathy and entering into each other's lives, not sympathy standing from the outside looking in with judgment or patronizing comments. James 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Real Christian community talks about its sins, its issues, the struggles without condemning or shaming one another. There is no greater feeling than telling someone your deepest, darkest secret and hearing the words, you too? I thought I was the only one going through that. You are not alone in your sin, your shame, your baggage, your struggle. Guess what? All of our sin stinks. Some of us just spray air conditioner over it to cover it up. That's the whole point of the Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and humanity is fallen thing. All of us are messed up. If you didn't take anything else away from the story, that is it. You are not alone, nor can you ever work through it alone. We need each other. We need to let each other know what's going on, even if it's really bad, embarrassing, or really just kind of weird. We need to hear from each other that this is not the end. Hey, I've been there too. I've struggled with that. You're not alone. Let's get through this together. We need each other to hold each other accountable, to encourage us, to push us, to challenge us on. Ecclesiastes 4 in the Old Testament says, two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift the other up. If two people lie next to each other, they keep each other warm. But how can one keep themselves warm? That's why addiction programs like Alcoholics Anonymous meet in groups together. Because you have a way higher success rate if you are in community with others going through the same thing than you if you are a lone ranger trying to carry the weight of the world on your own shoulders. How can one person keep warm on their own? Yet that's so hard, isn't it? Opening yourself up to the community. It's hard because a lot of the baggage we have that made us close ourselves down actually came from the community in the first place. For many of us, it was in community that we were told we were dumb, fat, annoying, silly, ugly, inadequate, disappointing, essentially unlovable. It was in community that we opened up for the first time, and then we got shut down and learned, okay, I shouldn't be myself here. Next time, I'll put up a wall, a mask. Or it was in church that we learned to feel guilty, shameful, afraid. Or it was at home with family that many of us picked up our unhealthy patterns of emotion, addictive habits of coping, or our daddy issues with God. We lost ourselves in what others said and did to us. Community wounded us. But it is also in community that we can begin to heal those wounds. It is in community that we can find the love our past has lacked. It is through being vulnerable with one another today that we work through the abuse of our vulnerability in the past. It is in community that we can explore our wounds with each other. Wounds that other people have, and they can say, hey, I have that too. Let's talk about it. How did you get through it? We can work through that together, talk about it together. It's in community that we can get encouragement when we're down, love when we feel unlovable, security when we're insecure. Community, church, other human beings, they might bring up memories and pain from the past. But community is also how we deal with those memories and work through our past. Some of you guys are running from community. Perhaps justifiably so. You might have a legitimate reason to be scared. But you got to stick around. You got to fight through the pain of community, for it is only through enduring the pain of surgery that you can begin to heal. Community might have sent you flying backwards, but it is also your only way forwards. Community is both the cage and the key, the disease and the doctor, both the maze and the way out. One person summarized it this way. A group of porcupines were marooned one bitter cold night in the middle of a large frozen field. There was no way to escape the biting wind. They couldn't burrow into the ground. It was already frozen solid. They had nowhere to go. And in the cold night, they huddled together, these porcupines, to keep each other warm. And their sharp porcupine quills began to stab into each other the closer they got. The closer they moved together for warmth, the more the stabbing pain increased. Some of them could not bear the pain, and they drew apart to go sleep on their own. And in the morning, they had frozen to death. In our humanness, there are times when we hurt each other, and the tendency is to pull away and go it alone. Fight that tendency. Push back against that thought in the back of your head. Family, church, others may at times be one of the most frustrating things in the world, but it is only in community that we survive. Being a legit Christian in first century Philippi wasn't easy either, and it isn't always a cakewalk today. But we get through it together, one hand raised to God in worship and one hand clinging to each other. In community, we get through, perhaps scarred and bloody like porcupines in a huddle, but somehow, hopefully, God willing, still alive the next morning. It is in community that we stay warm and survive.